طيب، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. السلام عليكم everyone. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلي اللهم وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Welcome everyone to the Islamic Institute of Toronto. This is another live broadcast actually that we're coming straight to you live. So this is live. So my name is Mamoun Hassan and I am going to be talking to Sheikh Muslih Khan today. It is Dhul-Hijjah. Dhul-Hijjah just started, alhamdulillah, last night. So today would be really the second day of it, inshallah ta'ala. I'm really, really quite excited to talk to Sheikh Muslih Khan about Dhul-Hijjah, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. So let me just go ahead and bring him on. And let me know if you can hear me, if everybody can hear me. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Sheikh Muslih, what a pleasure to have you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you and give you Jannah and everything that is good for you in the dunya and hereafter. I am absolutely ecstatic to be speaking to you today.
I am more delighted and honored to be in your presence, Sheikh. I'm very happy to see you and speak to you.
May Allah protect you. All right, alhamdulillah, Sheikh Salim. Let's make this really nice and quick, actually. People are actually joining in right now. So if you're joining in just right now, make sure you go ahead and you let us know where you're joining us from. I want to be able to hear you. I want to be able to see some of the chats that you have. Sheikh Muslih promised that he's going to answer every single question you ask.
Sure, why not? Let's go for it.
Sheikh Muslih, alhamdulillah, I want to tell you some exciting news, alhamdulillah. Last minute. My father was actually able to secure a visa to go to Hajj. And day before yesterday, I was able to just kind of, he just called. He said, hey, listen, I have an opportunity to go and I am leaving in 2 days, basically.
And I wow.
Was, yeah, I was really, really happy for him.
SubhanAllah. MashaAllah.
Yeah, it was, because it's unbelievable, right? Like the amount of money that's needed and the resource that you needed to be able to go to Hajj, SubhanAllah. So I was really, really excited for him. But 10
Hijjah
is a blessing time. It's a blessed time for everybody. Talk to me a little bit about these 10 days, Sheikh.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ba'd. Well, first of all, yeah, Sheikh, I just please extend our du'as to your father. You know, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep him safe and return him safe and inshallah accept his ibadat. And of course, and I'm sure we don't even have to remind him. I'm sure he will remember all of us, but if he wants to throw in my name, Muslih Khan, in some of his du'as, by all means, please remind him of that, inshallah. These 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, I got to say, you know, I've been really anxious about these 10 days, really patiently waiting as they arrive, hoping that I would be alive and well to see it and accept it, walillah alhamd. And it's simply because I feel like we all need these 10 days, a time to sort of reflect, rejuvenate, just because of all that's been happening these last few months, especially since October, especially with the Palestinian issue. It's just so unbelievable how all of us have been consumed emotionally and in different ways, you know, being pulled in different directions, our efforts, our time. Yeah. And I just think that this is really, really important on a personal level for all of us. So I'm very delighted and very grateful to be here to talk to you and talk to everyone in these blessed days. Walillah alhamd.
I mean, may Allah accept, inshallah. Sheikh Muslih, let's talk first of all about the significance of Dhul-Hijjah itself for Muslims in general. I guess kind of introduce people to what's happening. It's not like Ramadan, because Ramadan, everybody kind of participates in it. Ramadan is a big, big deal to every single Muslim. Dhul-Hijjah is something that's quite specific. No, we see it as quite specific. It's really not. I mean, we know that Muslims should be celebrating it, and Muslims should be actually kind of really joining in the ibadat as well in those 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. But it is Eid al-Hajj, really, in a sense. So talk to me a little bit about the significance of these days and why they're so important to Muslims as the Muslim community.
Well, you know, Sheikh, because these first 10 days, the days of Hajj are going to unfold. And you're talking about the fifth pillar of Islam, one of the greatest and most important acts of worship that anyone can perform if they're able to. We're talking about an act of ibadah that people min kulli fajjin amik, like from all directions across the globe, are going to come together and do the exact same thing. And the point here is that not all of us are going to be given that opportunity. So these 10 days of Dhul Hijjah is a way for all of us to kind of feel together, even though we're physically not together, which spiritually we are. Because all those who are blessed with Hajj, like your father and all the other millions of believers, are doing one thing together. And the rest of us, we have at least these 10 days where we can really increase our ibadat. These 10 days, the Prophet ﷺ told us that they are the most beloved days to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is, to me, really amazing, because we don't even have a hadith like that about Ramadan, you know, but we have it for these first 10 days. And Allah told us, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرُ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرُ. So Allah wants ease and He doesn't want the hardship about Ramadan. But we don't have an ayah like that about these 10 days. So indirectly, it's that although it's blessed and they're important and they're most beloved to Allah, we have to work for that. We have to work for those blessings. And, you know, fasting is obviously a great sunnah. One of the greatest acts of worship we can do during these 10 days is to try to fast them out, especially the day of Arafah. But just a long story short, these days are important. It's an opportunity for us to really maximize blessings, maximize rewards, and just really spend time with ourselves and our families and helping one another, supporting each other and encouraging each other, inshallah ta'ala.
Barakallahu fiqh. Yeah, that's actually really important for us to mention. All right, so let's get into some, I guess, really, if you do, what do you want to talk? You want to talk about the details of what Muslims, because I want to do two things, okay? I want to talk about what those who are in Hajj are going through, and let's talk about the feelings, and let's talk about what they should be doing. And also, I want to talk about the general, the rest of the ummah, those who are not in Hajj. What are they, should be they be doing? What should they be talking about? But we have 10 days, and I'm, you know, we're going to come back on here, inshallah, try to get as regular as possible. Tell me, which one do you want to talk about first?
I mean, you know, since we're kind of not in Hajj and in Mecca right now, yeah, I guess we can certainly concentrate a little bit about some of the things we can be doing, especially wonderful, those that are not there, what we can be doing, inshallah.
Wonderful. Let's talk, I guess, let's make it more specific then to people who are not in Hajj. Let's talk about them, Sheikh, inshallah. How should we be, what should be you doing those 10 days?
So the thing that I encourage Muslims to do, especially those that are not in Hajj, when you're in Hajj, you really don't have much to worry about, because you've got the support of millions around you and you're just surrounded with the right atmosphere to encourage you. So that's one thing. But for the rest of us, it's to really, the first thing that I would encourage everyone to do, whatever sin or mistake you're involved in, just stop it. Like, hit full brakes on it from day one. And I know that's easier said and done for a lot of people, but I'll tell you this, these 10 days of Dhul Hijjah are blessed, and the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants tells us that these 10 days are most beloved to Him, it indirectly tells us, and it should encourage us to feel that we can achieve things in these 10 days that even we ourselves have never thought we could do. So as far-fetched as it might feel for me to put full brakes on a habit that I had for the last 10 months or the last year or couple years, just to pull full brakes, you might actually surprise yourself. And you might actually shock yourself to know, like, subhanAllah, if I just focused and I put my intention that I want Allah's pleasure and I just stop whatever sin I'm involved in, you might actually surprise yourself how you are able to do that, and in a way that is sincere, and it comes with some sense of commitment. So that's the first thing. Don't make it complicated. Don't make it like, oh my God, okay, let me just sit and think of how, when. Just put full brakes. I honestly think that procrastinating is also one of the traps of shaitan. So don't procrastinate, just full brakes. And that's, I think, a great start. There are so many other things. So as we move through these 10 days, inshallah, we'll highlight a bunch of other things that we can all do. But that's where I think is a great starting point for all of us, inshallah.
Okay. So, all right, this is actually amazing that you've mentioned this, Sheikh. The first thing you're saying here is let's commit yourself to tawbah, basically, kind of repentance, and just go back. is it okay for me to ask you to tell us a little bit more details about what Tawbah is and how does one commit about, go about practicing committing Tawbah? Yeah, let's talk about that.
Sure, sure. So Tawbah, the best way to internalize what Tawbah is, how to implement it, how to ignite Tawbah, is go back to the definition of Tawbah. Mm. Tawbah literally means, it comes from the word taba. Taba means to physically change your state. So one type of Tawbah is to verbalize astaghfirullah, you know, a'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim, like these are all spiritual and verbal types of Tawbah.
Mm.
But to physically change your state. So Sheikh, like I'm talking about, let's say if you have a problem, you know, going on the wrong website on your phone, or you're just, you know, all over the place, or you have a problem, you know, just binging movies or things like that. Physical Tawbah is like you get all of that under control. Put a program on your phone that at least blocks certain websites and literally control your TV time. Turn it off. You know, my TV actually has a timer. Most digital TVs have timers where they can, you can program them to just shut off. Like these little steps to physically change your state, that's really what Tawbah is. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, Tubu ilallahi tawbatan nasuha, to make a Tawbah that is that one Tawbah that literally just flips things upside down. Nasuha is literally not just a Tawbah that's sincere, but the Tawbah that's spontaneous. And it just, you physically change something about your life, the way you say things, the way you do things. So one very quick example, which I'll leave you with, is that start with the tongue. So one very quick, easy, physical type of Tawbah is just think about, okay, if I use a particular word, if I curse in my, you know, my language and, you know, in my conversations, even if I'm just talking about random things, there are lots of people that we meet all the time that have this, the habit of like a little curse word gets poked in here and poked in there. And just like Allah tells us, bi'sal ism fusuq ba'd al-iman, you know, like it's something shameful that, you know, you're going to fall into all of these shameful behaviors and things like that after you have faith. Alhamdulillah, we have faith. But just start with physically, okay, I need to work on my speech. I need to work on some of these words and just try to stop them. That's a physical change. You'll see the impact. Others will see the impact. And, you know, that's literally the heart and definition of what Tawbah should be.
SubhanAllah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect you. So this is actually really amazing to mention here. So the first thing, you've heard it here first. Sheikh Muslih Khan is saying to you, on the first day of these 10 days, commit yourself to Tawbah. Genuinely actually think of a way to make some sort of positive changes in your life when you're living a life that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and also in obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Restrict yourself from these things that bring the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All right, I have another question here for you, but I do actually want to call out some of the people who are joining us. We're actually getting a lot of people who are joining us, alhamdulillah. So we have a couple of people from Canada. But I do want to mention, this is an honorable mention here for Sister Amina, who's joining us from Nairobi in Kenya. So that's really, really far, far away from there. If you are further than Amina in Kenya, go ahead and comment to us. Let us know where you're joining us from. We would love to actually see more of that. Okay. All right, Sheikh. So this is the whole idea here. Commit yourself to Tawbah. how does this happen, Sheikh? Because I guess it's important to recognize the fact that there are certain things that are just difficult for people to actually let go of. So, you know, specifically sinnings, there is certain sins that almost become kind of an addiction and so on and so forth. Sheikh, what kind of practical advice would you give to people who genuinely want to repent and do better at things, but they just don't have the tools to do so? They don't have the means to do so.
Don't make it complicated. And the thing that the driving force of us to want to do things better is just thinking about the blessings, the consequence of just doing the right thing. You know, Mamoun, today I did a khutbah about lessons that we can learn from Fir'aun. And one of the things that I mentioned is that here's a man that did not fear the consequence of injustice, arrogance, and ignorance. He just didn't care. And he kept on persisting and pursuing all of these innocent people and control and keeping them under his shackles of slavery and punishment and torture and all of those things. But then he feared one thing that started to manifest with Musa alayhi salam and all those that followed him, and that was their faith. He couldn't trample over their faith. And this reminded me that the qadr of Allah, you're not going to stop it. And especially the faith in people, there is nothing that anybody can do about that. You know, there's a saying that scholars have that nobody's going to take away your faith. There are things, except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there are things that in life that are going to poke at your faith. They're going to disrupt it. They're going to try to like weaken it. But to actually snatch it away, that's a choice you have. That's a choice you make to let go of that faith. But other than that, once you have it, you can hold on to it and keep it by nurturing that faith. And so to really answer the question, some of the practical things is just don't make it complicated. Focus on the blessing and the reward of what doing what's right, especially for Allah, brings about. It brings about a good life, a happy life. Like Allah tells us in the Quran, من عمل صالحا من ذكر أو أنثى وهو مؤمن فلنحيينه حياة طيبة. So anybody who does righteous deeds from male and female, Allah says, I promise them that they're going to have a pleasant life, as opposed to the opposite. وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِ فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكَ. So whoever repels and rejects my remembrance, then they're going to live a really restricted life, an unhappy life, a life where they feel constrained and they feel restricted and they just feel tightened, and it's at all levels, physically and emotionally, to just feel trapped every single day.
Yeah.
That's the result of when you do what's right, you're freed from those shackles. And that's the biggest challenge that Fir'aun had, is that he could do everything except he could not succumb to the faith of the believers. He could not touch or do anything to them. And I think that that would be something, inshallah, helpful to everybody in a practical sense.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful, Sheikh. The last question that I want to have for you here today is that I also want to know, how do we talk today to some of the events that are happening? You know, our ummah is going through some really difficult time. There's this huge war that's happening in Gaza, where our brothers and sisters are just being massacred. There's this big, huge war that's happening in Sudan as well. Where more than 12 million people have become displaced. We know what's going on in India with the Islamophobia. Yep. on the rise there. What's happening in China? What's happening? Just genuinely, Sheikh, if you look at the ummah, you know, we're going through difficult times, Sheikh. I just want you to end this episode here of talking about this, about how do we tie these 10 days to some of these incidents and events that are happening? How do we kind of do them in a way where we can feel better, I guess?
Take advantage. I mean, there's a lot of things, but the first that comes to mind is to really take advantage and make some personal time for yourself and for you and Allah. Listen, there is nothing that Allah will put us through except that we have the ability and the capacity to go through it, to handle it. So no matter how overwhelming these issues around the world could be, and the emotional toll that it takes on all of us, we have what it takes to get through that. And we have what it takes, as long as we take some time to nurture our own iman and our own soul. So my best advice to everybody is, in light of all that's happening, understand you will never go through something more than you have the capacity or the ability to bear. And number two, these 10 days are a real opportunity for us to rejuvenate our iman and re-strengthen that bond with Allah. For as long as we have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that trust in His qadr, we will be able to get through all of this, insha'Allah ta'ala. We'll be able to trust that Allah knows what He's doing. He is Al-Aziz Al-Hakim, He's the All-Powerful, the All-Wise. We'll be able to trust His plan. And history has shown us that injustices have never been victorious. It has never won. It has always failed, whether it is in this world or in the hereafter. So justice will be served in that regard, inshallah.
Sheikh Musa, it's a pleasure to speak to you as always. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you and protect you and your family and give you Jannah, inshallah ta'ala. We are going to continue on this conversation on a daily basis, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. So tomorrow, what time do you want to do it tomorrow, Sheikh? Today we had to go a little bit later because of the class that was streaming, but do you want to maybe go tomorrow a little bit earlier, around 7, 8 o'clock? Or is this a good time for you? I actually want to know, for those who are watching us, let's just ask them, yeah, because we're free for both of these times.
We're pretty
earlier than now.
I'm pretty good. Right? Yeah. Before Maghrib, a little bit after Maghrib. I would actually prefer a little bit before Maghrib, but let's see what everyone says.
All right, so no problem. So comment below here. Let us know what time you want us to see. This is obviously Toronto time, inshallah. And we'll surprise you tomorrow. Maybe we'll come on time. Maybe we'll come a little bit later. Maybe we'll just come whenever we kind of feel like it, inshallah. But it will be around Maghrib time, GTA time. Yeah. Sheikh Muslih, barakallahu feek. We'll see you later, inshallah.
No problem. My pleasure, inshallah.
Allah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum, everyone. And we will see you all tomorrow, inshallah ta'ala. Barakallahu feek.
Afikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.